Thank you. I want to welcome everyone to Kenwood tonight. We are continuing our study in Psalms. We're in chapter 8, which is Psalm chapter 27. And he has this one titled Courageous Living, because Psalm 27, which of course if you read it, is a psalm that deals a lot with fear, which is something that we all deal with. So, what is fear? How would you define or describe fear? Something that scares you. Something that makes you very uncomfortable. You don't want to do it. I always kind of joke around, you know, I'm not a very tall person, but I always say that God knew what he was doing and he made me short because I'm scared to death of heights. I don't like ladders. I don't like airplanes. That's something that really does scare me and causes me a lot of fear. So who experiences fear? Everybody. There's nobody who's not afraid of something. And then this is a point that he brought up. Is fear real? It is. Of course it is. I mean, there are things, you know, like I said, I'm afraid of heights. I can get up on a ladder and I can do the things I need to do, but I'm going to sweat and shake a whole lot while I'm doing it. Yeah. Right. The fear, especially when a loved one is going through something, where they're in the hospital and you don't know what to do, and you know, from what you were describing, you've lost that feeling of control, and you don't know what to do, and you're worried about whether the people that are trying to help actually know what they do, and that's a very strong feeling of fear. Someone else had their hand up? Yes, Danny. Right, that's a good point. Yeah, to define it without using the word feared or the word scared, it's an emotion that is directed towards something that we don't know anything about, the unknown. It just, you don't know what to do, and yes. It could be more of a sense. But it is definitely... Everybody, I mean, you know when you're afraid. You know the feeling, and it really does cause a lot of panic in us, which is why this particular chapter is so important. Which brings up this next question. How do you deal with fear? That's a hard one. You don't really know unless you're in the situation. Exactly, yeah. The point of the class and the point of this chapter that we're going to get to later is to take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, let the Lord help you. That's what he wants to do. When the last time I climbed a ladder, there was definitely prayers being said as I was going up. So yeah, I mean, we're supposed to take it to the Lord in prayer. He's going to be the one that's going to help build our confidence and help give us that sense of firm foundation that we need to deal with these things. And then this was a point he brought up, and it really stuck in my head. Can life be cured or managed? It can only be managed. And the thing that first popped out to me was the word cured. Okay, if you have a disease and you cure a disease, what do you do to that disease? You get rid of it. So what's the cure for life? I mean, when you cure something, you get rid of it. It's no longer there. So in that sense, in that medical term, if you cure life, you don't have it anymore. So definitely, life has to be managed. It's not something that we can just cure. You can just snap your fingers or take medication and it's done. It's something you're going to have to manage and have to deal with. So, getting into our text. Verses 1 through 6. Psalm 27, 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. One thing that struck me as I was reading this, and it could be because it was what we studied last week and it was fresh in my mind, but this starts off very similar to the way the 23rd Psalm did. He declares what the Lord is to him. Which is, you know, as he says in the book, the theme of this chapter. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" What do we have that we need to be afraid of? If we've given our life over to the Lord and we spend time in his word every day, what do we have that we should really be afraid of? Nothing. Now, that is a very difficult thing to do. You know, it's not something that's just done overnight. That takes a while to get to. And I thought this was a good point, too. Does David say that God gives light or God is light? God is light. So what's the difference between giving light and... Yeah, you can get light from a lot of different sources, but God is the one light that we should be following. He is the one light we should be trying to lead people to. I hear a lot of times when people pray, I say it often also, praying for God to give us strength to go out and be that bright and shining light in the community to help lead people to him. You know, being the light is a lot more powerful than just sharing light from another source. And then he was talking in here about intimidation, which is another very much more specific form of fear. Have you ever been intimidated by someone or something? Yeah, I mean, it's an easy thing to do. Public speaking can be very intimidating, you know. When I first started doing this class, it was an intimidating idea. The only classes I'd ever really taught were in the smaller classroom, less people, much smaller setting, no microphone recording. So to come out here and do it out here was very intimidating, but I have to admit, thanks to you guys, it's been a very rewarding experience, but at the beginning it was very intimidating. But we've all been intimidated by different things, or someone. In relating to David here, he says on page 37, when David was fighting Goliath, did Goliath intimidate David? Goliath intimidated everybody but David. David had confidence in God, and we're going to get to that here in a little bit because he talks about where David's wars were fought and that they weren't really fought on the battlefield. But we'll get to that later on, hopefully. So when it comes to being intimidated, how do you handle that? Right, by having a closer relationship with God, it's exactly like what we said earlier about how to deal with fear. You take it to the Lord in prayer. You spend time every day in his word, and you will know how to deal with those situations. Because we are going to deal with situations where, as Brother Danny said, we're going to be dealing with the unknown. We're going to have a family member who is sick. We're going to have those situations that are very fearful and very intimidating, and we have to take it to the Lord in prayer and trust in him. And we're going to get... That's also covered later on in verses 13 and 14. And we talked about this. How did David handle his intimidation? He took it to God in prayer. You know, when he was going to fight Goliath, everyone else was intimidated by him. And David said pretty much, you know, what he does here in verse 1. The Lord is on my side. Who should I fear? Why should I be afraid of anyone? If the Lord wants me to win this battle, we're going to go out and we're going to win this battle. Because it's the Lord's will. And then he made a point in here about who this psalm was for. Said a lot of people think it's David in kind of a hoorah for David. You know, these are the things, how David dealt with things. Is this a psalm that's just for David? What use would that be, right? You know, why would that be included? It's a psalm that David wrote through inspiration of God so that we could have it and we could know through someone else's experience how to deal with these things. Right. David's God is our God. He hasn't changed. So the way David dealt with these things, it's the same way we should deal with these things. It hasn't changed. That's a good point. And then in verse 2, he starts talking about his enemies. And he kind of compares them to wild beasts here. When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. He gets, you know, and he talks about this through a couple of verses. I think through number 3, verse 3 also. He's completely surrounded by his enemies. They are after him to kill him. And even in verse 10, he says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." These are all the people that are against him. He was outnumbered, and he was overwhelmed, and even part of his family had turned their back on him. There is not a scarier situation, a more intimidating situation that I can think of than to be surrounded and outnumbered by your enemies and know that there's parts of your family that you cannot go to for help. I mean, I don't think, yeah, it's not on this slide, but have you ever known someone who's had their family turn their back on them when they were baptized and came to Christ? I mean, it happened. Yeah, that's true. I did go through a little bit of that myself. It's a very difficult thing to deal with. Really not much I can say about it. It's just, you know, it's a hard thing. Danny? Absolutely, it does. You know, and we talked about that in one of the other psalms, Psalms 1 or 2, I believe it is. You know, being the tree that's firmly planted, if you have a forest of trees, is a lot stronger and will stand up to the storm a lot better than a single tree will, which goes exactly to your point, especially if we're rooted next to the water of life, which is the Word of God. If we're firmly planted there and we're together, our adversaries are going to have a hard time getting to us. And there are times, going from my own experiences, where your adversaries turn up in places you don't expect them. You know, you expect those people to be your friends and or to be your family, and suddenly they're not filling that same role anymore. They're filling more of the role of the adversary because of the decision you made. And again, falling back on that church family, which takes a while to get used to when you first become a Christian, but falling back on that church family can help you get through that. And that's one thing we need to remember. Yes, take it to the Lord in prayer. You have to take it to the Lord in prayer. But don't forget that you have a family here. We all care for each other. We all love each other. No matter what's going on, we've had some issues happen here recently that we're dealing with, but we're doing it together. The people who are involved in that are not alone. We're all here 100% behind them, and we're all going to come out the other side stronger for it. Yes. Yeah. Right, yeah. Definitely any new converts that we have, we need to spend the extra time with them, you know, because they might be going through this and we never know it. because they sit quietly and just try to deal with it themselves. And if we take the time to get to know them, we can probably help them get through that. Okay, again in verse 4, how did he handle it? Now we keep saying that to take it to the Lord in prayer. But I thought he made a very good point in the book. He made it a couple of times that I remember. Did David go to the Lord asking for a whole laundry list of things? In verse 4, he says, one, he's surrounded, he's overwhelmed, parts of his family have turned his back on him. You know, a king that he loved has already tried to kill him. And in the midst of all that, he only asked for one thing. Because he has, you know, to steal a sports phrase, he has his eyes on the main prize. The one thing he asked for, he says, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. The one thing he asked for is to spend as much time as he possibly can with God. I mean, it really doesn't get any simpler than that, because I've been asked, and I have asked several times, when you need to pray, what is it that you should pray for? You know, and we're always told, be specific in what you pray for. We're going to talk about that here in a little while too. But here, with everything he was going through and everything that's happened in his life up to this point, he only asked for one thing, and that's to spend as much time with God as possible. His mind and his prayer were still focused on the end goal. And it's going to be kind of amazing if you follow David's life, keeping his mind on that end goal and keeping his focus there and on the Lord and having salvation through him. He did have his troubles. You're never going to get away from your troubles. But for the most part, everything kind of worked out for him. You know, we have a book where, you know, most of the Psalms in this book are credited to David. And that's a huge thing. You know, things will work out if you keep your eyes focused on God, and focused on attaining salvation, and spending as much time as you possibly can with him. You're going to find yourself spending a lot more time in the Word of God. And, to steal another sports phrase, it's amazing how when you spend so much time preparing for things, how lucky you can get. You know, you spend your time studying the Word of God, you'll be amazed at how easily it is, or easy it can be for you to deal with certain things as they come up in your life. Right. Yeah, exactly. And like we said in verse 13 and 14, he definitely talks about that, about one of the hardest parts about staying focused is having that patience and knowing that God is working to take care of those things. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, and like the first point you made, we really don't have the type of enemies that David had. You know, we don't have a king sending the most powerful army after us, chasing us from, like you said, point A to point B. So when he was dealing with all those things that we really have no idea how to deal with, and he takes it all to God in prayer, you know, that's why it should be such a powerful example for us to follow. because we're not going to go through the same things that he went through. But talking about that leads us into our next one. Where were David's battles fought and won or lost? If they weren't on the battlefield, where were his battles won? Right, in his walk with God, in prayer. When he would go to God in prayer, God would answer those prayers. And, you know, his battle with Goliath, for instance, that battle was over before it even started. When David stood up and said he had God on his side, that battle was over. Nobody's going to stand against God in a battle and win. It's just not possible. That's when he got into trouble. That's a good point. When he was on the battlefield, you know, with Goliath and with all these other battles that he was there and that he fought, he was with God. God was with him, and those battles were already done and over with. But like Dan just brought up, the one time that he didn't go out to battle and he wasn't where he was supposed to be and he wasn't where God wanted him, that was a battle of his own making, and he lost that one before it got started. You know, he was in trouble. All right, we've already talked about that. Let's see. And in verses 5 and 6, like we said, he's already described all the people that are surrounding him, but he says, "For in the day of trouble, he would conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." So in the midst of all of this, he does have confidence that he's going to come out on top because he has taken these problems that he's having to God. So he has that ultimate confidence that in his day of trouble, God's going to be there to help him. God's going to conceal him in the tabernacle. He's going to hide him in the secret place of his tent. He's going to lift him up on a rock. And then in the book, he compares this verse 6 a little bit to a sporting event where the people who win have their heads held high, and the ones who lose usually walk off the court or the field with their heads down. You know, he says here that he's going to have his head lifted up above his enemies around him. And then in his tent, he will offer sacrifices and shouts of joy, and he will sing praises to the Lord. Which brings up this thought that I wanted to get to. How often do we sing praises to the Lord outside of the assemblies? Do we do it as often as we should? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do it a lot, but is there anybody here who feels like they might lack in that a little bit? I mean, I'm not going to be shy. I'll raise my hand. I definitely do. There's a lot of times in our life as we're going through the day that we could take a minute and praise the Lord for something that happened. Or in some cases, something that didn't happen. But unfortunately, you know, myself included, a lot of times that doesn't happen as often as it should. Dan? That's kind of an awkward time when you're trying to be hidden. It's kind of an awkward time to start singing praises and shouting joy to the Lord. And where do we see an example of that in the New Testament? You know, maybe not necessarily hiding, but Paul when he's in prison. The Philippian jailer. Yeah, exactly. When he's in prison and all of a sudden it's midnight, it's in the middle of the night, and these two guys are in a prison, taken that time to sing and shout praises to God. Through faith, yeah. He did. He did have great faith in God. Yeah. Yeah. You know, fear definitely does point out the places where we might have a lack of faith, which you could look at that as a bad thing, or you could look at that and say, that's what I need to work on. And you can get to work on it. And you can turn that fear into a show of faith in God, and you know, you can work through that and turn that into a positive thing. Right. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, when you're talking about what kind of day you're having, there's never a bad type of day or the wrong type of day to sing praises to God, because you're exactly right. If you're having a good day, if you're having a great day, you sing praises of thanksgiving to God for letting you have that good day. If you're having a bad day, you sing praises of thanksgiving to God for being there with you and helping you get through that bad day. You know? Yes. Yeah, that's definitely a good point. You know, if something happens and you get excited about it, you know, you might pick up the phone and call your spouse, your mother, your father, whoever. But do you take time to thank God before you do that? You know, I mean, that's definitely something to think about. That's a really good point. Yes. Okay, we're actually going to stop right here, and we will pick up and finish this chapter next week. So we'll still be in this chapter next week.